Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze, Tavshin Ayin Dalet. Okay, we got a lot to do over here. Yaakov Avinu, he's coming to Haran after a brief pit stop, right, after Shane the Aver for 14 years, and then stops off in the middle of the middle of Haran Moriah. Somehow something came to him, some type of kisa derech, and he asks Lavan for Rachel Imenu's hand in marriage. It says, Vayahav Yaakov is Rachel, is the beginning of Shlishi. Yaakov loved Rachel by Yomer, and he said, I'm going to work for you for 7 years, the Rachel Bitcha Hakitana, for Rachel, your daughter, the younger one. Now, this is an unbelievable offer. Why in the world was Yaakov willing to offer 7 years of work for Rachel? Let's try to understand a lot over here. First of all, it's very strange that he didn't marry her in the first place. He's 63 years old when he gets to Rachel. 63 years old together, and Yitzchak Avinu was 123 at the time. He leaves soon after that, and then spends 14 years in Shem the Aver, which means that Yeshiva's Aver, Shem was already dead. Those 14 years burn at the age of 77. At the age of 77, he reaches Haran, finds Rachel, falls in love with her, and then says to Laban, I'll work for you for 7 years for your daughter, which means he didn't get married till the age of 84. By any account of when you're supposed to have Puravu, when you're supposed to get married, I think 84 is Lafi all the shitas. I don't think there is a single shita that says by the age of 84 you should be single. No, there is one that might say 40 because of Yitzchak and Rivka, possibly, although it could be a mistake in the text. There's a way of reading it where you could read it a little bit differently, that they got married at 40, that you should get married at 40. Regardless, 84 is for sure way out of the loop. There's no question about that. I mean, again, I always like to make the joke about it, but I hate, you know, you don't want to say such a thing. We're like, Rachel Imenu and Rivka Imenu and Yitzchak Imenu are sitting down with Yaakov and saying, like, we think it might be time for you to get married. You know, you're 63. I think it might be time. And he's just like, I need another couple years in yeshiva. Like, 14 years in yeshiva. And even then, he waits another 7 years. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. One after the other. Wow, Sam. Unbelievable. This is crazy. Unbelievable. So, well, what happens over here? There's a sefer called the Tzimtzenes Haman. He quotes the Gemara in Erev and Daf Samach Aleph of an Aleph, and if you're in the counting mode, this is number one. Erev and Samach Aleph of an Aleph that says when a dog comes into a new city, it takes him 7 years to start barking because it's afraid of all the other dogs in that place. Yaakov knew he was going to be living by Lavan. He knew he was going to be living by Lavan, and he wanted to have an opinion. He wanted to be part of something. He wanted to be able to fight and do something. What he was worried about is that if he got married immediately, he'd be in Lavan's house, he'd be bustled to Lavan's house the whole time, and his wife would rule over him. And he wanted to make sure that he was the man of the household, not subservient to Lavan and giving in to everything that Lavan said, but rather that he was going to have the upper hand and he would be the new dog in town. Right? He would be that new dog in town. So he waited 7 years that he would get used to the ways of the city, know what he had to do, he would be a full toast shop of the city, get his bearings, and then be ready to be in charge. That's the reason why he waited 7 years and why he put in. Okay, but why seven? Why not six? Why not eight? Where does number seven come from? So number two, the Medrash Gada says that this is the way that the Eved Ivri works. How long does an Eved Ivri work for? Sheish Shanim Tavod. 6 years he works. Uvashana Shvi is Teitzei L'chof Shechinam. That's when he goes free. And so too over here, Yaakov Avinu worked in a way in which it would be a little bit more than 6 years. He was the Eved Ivri and left in the middle of his seventh year. There was an opinion that said that it was not seven full years, but rather this year up until Rosh Hashanah and another 6 years after that. And that's the opinion of Eved Ivri, that it ended up being a six and a little bit more to be able to be like an Eved Ivri. And that's where Yaakov Avinu got it from. He got it from the concept in the Torah called Eved Ivri. Torah Shlema brings down a Medrash. The Rabbeinu Bakia brings down the exact same Medrash. At the time, how old was Rachel when he first met her? 5 years old. Kind of explains why he was able to kiss her. Nothing really wrong with a 77-year-old man giving a 5-year-old kid a kiss on the top of her forehead. Even if he was going to marry her later. But because she was only 5, he didn't want to be together with her because he wanted to make sure he would be together with her at a time when she would be able to have children. And at 5, no woman is able to have children, or normal women are not able to have children. So he waited 7 years for her to be 12, a Nara, in which he could marry her and she'd be able to have children, so he wouldn't be over on wasted seed. He wouldn't have to worry about that. So they both say that that's why he waited 7 years.
And if somebody's with the Kana, it's not wages either.
That's true. Nonetheless, he felt there is a Gemara that says about Rav that being together with a Katana would be considered Shekla Zerah Lavasala. And therefore he said that. I'm sorry?
So they would beat up somebody who did that?
No, that's if you're a Mekadesh Babiah, but not by a Katana. Not by Katana. No, Belo Shiduchin and Mekadesh Babi are the two. That's the Gemara with Rav. So those are the two over there. The Chsam Sofer is number four. Chsam Sofer in the Haftorah says he didn't feel he was ready yet to get married. Didn't feel he was ready yet. At the age of 77, he wasn't ready to get married yet. So waited another 7 years. The Chsam Sofer goes on as to why he felt he wasn't ready yet. Very confusing little thing and a little bit Kabbalistic, which he says that there are certain things that a person has to accomplish in this world before he gets married, and Yaakovinu felt that he hadn't perfected it yet. I can't imagine Yaakovinu didn't perfect everything before he got married. It doesn't explain it in the way that I'd like to explain it. So unfortunately, he wasn't there, so that's the reason why. That's the Chsam Sofer. Another answer the Torah Shlema gives is number five. He was worried. Who was supposed to marry Leah?
Esav
was supposed to marry Leah. Now he was worried about the following. It's possible that if he goes and marries Leah, and he knew that somehow Laban was going to trick him and that he was going to marry Leah in some way, shape, or form. If he goes and marries Leah without any forewarning, then Esav would have yet another tina on him. He stole my bechorah, he stole my bracha, and he stole my wife. He stole my wife. How could he have done that? So Yaakovinu sent a message back, says the Torah Shlema. Sent a message back and asked Esav, do you want to marry Leah? And waited 7 years to wait for a response. He didn't want to marry the youngest daughter first. He just went to Esav and asked Esav to take her. Since Leah was already betrothed to Esav, he didn't want to say anything. So what ended up happening? He waited 7 years, and in the end, that ended up happening. He waited until there would be a time for 7 years.
Before he started working, he said, I'll work for 7 years. How do you know he's going to get an answer in 7 years?
He said, I'll wait 7 years. He considered that like almost like a shulling zman, like a shavua of a Shemitah cycle. It would be like a full zman. And he figured that by that time, he's going to answer one way or the other, so I'll know what I'm supposed to do. Esav did not answer the whole time, which meant that there was nothing to do. He had done it, now there's no more time. I'm sorry? Well, to him. They were like a death. Right, for him, to him.
He knew it was for Leah.
No. He knew that somehow he was going to get Leah, but he didn't know that Leah was going to be first. That he didn't know about yet.
What if he would have answered like the second day? He'd be like, whoops.
He said no. What do you mean? What if he would have responded immediately? What if he would have responded immediately? He would have responded immediately. See, this is the funny part. There was nothing holding Yaakovinu back from saying in the middle of it, okay, there's no reason for me not to finish up the 7 years, but let me get married right now. There's no reason to say that. Meaning, if you're getting married based on a basic halva, I'm lending you my services and something like that, then why not get married now and do the services after? We'll get to that in a second, but that's the idea behind that would be the answer to that question as well. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh answers, this is a very strange answer. Sheva Yipol Tzadik Bekam. Have you heard of that concept before? 7 times a tzadik will fall, but then he'll get up. A tzadik works very hard, says the Or HaChaim, to keep himself in machnia mode, to keep himself in you're greater than me mode, so that when the time is right, you can get up and surprise your enemies. That's the idea, that's the mode that he had put himself into, and that's what he's supposed to be. The number 7 shows his humility, that he's subservient to Lavan, that Lavan's going to be in charge, and he's saying, I will let you have a full ownership on me, and that's the Eved Ivri boards, that Sheva Yipol Tzadik, it's as if I'll fall 7 times, but in the end, Nikam, I will get up, and that's where he started having all of his shvatim. The greatness of Yaakovinu was his patience, and his his willing to wait. But I'm waiting for a word that's bigger than that. You guys are all working thesauruses. No, come on.
Dedication.
Patience, dedication, no, neither one of those. Let's go with all of that. Self-control, to be able to wait 7 years to the point where it came, he could say, now it's time for me to get up and go. And that's why, by the way, if you look at everything the Yaakovinu did was in multiples of 7. 14 years in Yeshiva's Aver is a multiple of 7. He waited until, I mean, obviously 77 is the amount that was over there. He waits, worked 7 years and another 7 years, and then went back there to stroll in the 7th year. That everything had to do with 7s when it came to Yaakovinu's life. There's something that has to do with that. Maybe, I'm sorry? I have probably 6. I would assume so.
Favorite
holiday was Sukkot. Why? That's 9 days. Or 8 days.
No,
8 days. I understand, but you know, Shmini Atzeres.
Yeah,
Pesach is better. Let's say Pesach.
Well, no, can you do the seven, you'd walk around the...
Either way, I don't think he had a favorite chag. I don't think he did. He might have, but I doubt it. Rav Aaron Cutler, I'm sorry?
Due to the many cases we found out, actually, it makes sense to me that a chag will fall sometimes two rise eight times.
Why?
As I think it was actually you that told me this, seven is the number of nature, and eight is the number of...
Correct.
Nature.
Yeah.
What I recently found out was that the human mind actually naturally is more inclined to remember negativity.
Than it's supposed to?
As opposed to positive.
So that's what you're saying, 7 over 8.
So it takes the seventh time to show that he is actually a truly strong person to be a good person.
That's an interesting little call. Let's get into the Malbim. I don't have much on this Malbim. This Malbim is a really, really unbelievable Malbim. Listen, I don't do the Malbim often enough. The truth is, he's one of the greatest perishim in the history of mankind. Unbelievable perish. He says, here's the pasuk in Tet Zayin to go right before him. There's an introduction to what's about to happen. Listen to this carefully. You'll hear how Yaakov was tricked and how Yaakov thought he was going to be okay coming through this. Ulavan Shtevanos. Lavan had two daughters. There are four reasons why Lavan found it necessary to work for Lavan over here. Number one, Lavan had two daughters and he did not want to marry both of them. Shema Gedola Leah, the Shema Ketana Rachel. The oldest one was Leah and the youngest one was Rachel, and he was afraid that Leah was going to be given to him first. He was worried that she would be the one that it was going to happen, or that the wedding was going to be pushed off until Leah was married first, since Rachel was younger than Leah. That's what he was afraid of. Number three, Ene Leah Rakos. Her eyes were very strange, soft looking from all of her crying, which meant the following. It meant that Lavan would do anything to convince Yaakov to grab Leah as a wife, and anything could happen for Lavan to be able to give Leah over to Yaakov. And number four, Rachel is the Afasor Vifasmare. She was so beautiful that Lavan's going to ask for an exorbitant amount for her marriage, for her hand in marriage from Yaakovinu. For those four reasons that are mentioned in Pasuk Tzayin and Pasuk Yud Zayin, he thought it would be a fair deal to do the following. I'll work for you for Lavan for a total of 3 years. 3 years for Rachel. 3 years of work. Make the cheshbon. That's a lot of money, Lavan. That's a lot of money. For such a beautiful girl, I'm willing to put it in. Now, I want you to guarantee me that you're not going to make me marry Leah as well. I want this to be a guarantee and part of our stipulation in this contract that I will not be married to Leah as well. I'm only going to be married to Rachel. And for that, I'll be willing to add on another 2 years for that stipulation to make sure that that happens. And then the other thing that I want to add on is that I don't have to delay the marriage. Allow me to get married before Leah, if Leah is not married off by that time. Allow me to delay a little bit more and to make sure that it's going to happen in the proper time. For that, I'll work for you for another 2 years for. So what he said was, 3 years for Rachel, 2 years so that I don't marry both, and another 2 years so that I get to marry Rachel when I want to and not when you want to. That's 7 years altogether. Said to Malvin, that's my deal. Take it or leave it, Lavan. What do you want to do? Lavan never took the deal. Listen to what he says. After it says, give me your daughter, Vayomer Lavan, Tov titi osa lach mi titi osa lishacher. It's better for me to give her to you than give her to somebody else. Shvayim adi, come and sit with me. Now that sounds like he agreed to the deal. Sounds like, deal. Come with me, start your work now, everything's all there for you. That's not what he said. It's better for me to give her to you as a gift rather than for me to give her to somebody else. Stay with me for free, and I'll pay for you, and I'll do anything you want. When Yaakovina started working, there wasn't a stipulation of the contract. There was no contract. Lavan said, no, I don't need anything. I'll give her to you for free. Eventually. But that's the part that he left out. Yaakov thought that he accepted the deal. And if he accepted the deal, he couldn't renege on the deal. They had a contract. What Lavan was saying is, I never signed the contract. I said that I'll give her to you for free. He went back on nothing. So when later on he gave him Leah, he went up to Lavan and said, Lavan, you gave me your word. You said you would give her to me, and I made this as my stipulations in the deal. To which Lavan said, there was no deal. I never shook hands on it. I never said yes to your deal. I said, just stay with me for free. Oh, you worked for me? That was a great honor. I appreciate you working for me for the next 7 years. But I never said yes to that deal. I never said yes. And because of that, I can do whatever I want with it. And he delayed. And then he gave her gave him Leah. And only then did he give him Rachel. That was the trick, said Malvin. And that shows the trickiness of Laban and what he was able to do to Yaakov Avinu. Brilliant. An absolute brilliant move. Suggest you don't do that to anybody. But that was an absolute brilliant move. Rashi says, Avod Kosh Shev Hashanim, and the rest of this is basically going to be based on Rashi. Haim Yomim HaKodim She'omer Elohim. If anybody remembers from last week's portion, if you don't worry. You just didn't do Shnayim Mekavach HaTargum, and that's perfectly fine. Yitzchak said, I want you to go find a wife from that area, from over there. Okay? So he says like that. Rivka Aminu had suggested that to Yitzchak. He said, Yata b'ni shma b'koli. Now my son, listen to my voice. V'kum b'rach l'cha olavan achi charana. Get up, run to my brother, Lavan, in Charan. V'yashavti imo yomim achadim. Live with him for a few days. For just a few days. Says Rashi, Sheva shanim, heim yomim achadim she'amar lo imo. These are the few days that his mother had mentioned to him. Stay by my brother for a few days. That meant 7 years. V'yashavti imo yomim achadim, we said up above, that this was it. 7 years was a few. V'teda shakenu, and I'll prove it to you. Says Rashi, how often does Rashi bring a proof to his words? How often does that happen? V'teda shakenu, I'll prove to you that that's so. Shariksiv, v'yu be'enav kiyamim chadim. It was in his eyes as if it was just a few days. Kiyamim chadim. Those were the yamim chadim that Rivka Aminu had said for him to stay by Esav, for him to stay by Lavan. Those were the actual yamim chadim. Now that's Rashi. Rashi gives up shot and he says that's the idea behind it. Now that's crazy. Why would yamim achadim, translated literally means yamim days, achadim a few, how in the world could that refer to 7 years? Why would Yitzchak, and remember this is not, why would Yaakovinu even have a havamina that a few days means 7 years? That's crazy. Why would you think that way? And there's an Achlas Yaakov. Rivka Aminu knew that Esav hated Yaakov. And it would take a long time for Esav to get over that hatred of Yaakov. So what did she do? She suggested to Yaakov in a hinting manner, stay away from here. Get out. Go somewhere else. Go hang out somewhere else. You don't want to be around here. If you're around here, every time Esav sees you, he's going to think of the fact that you stole something from him, and he's going to want to kill you. Get out. Leave for a while. Be gone for a long time. When she said Yomim Achadim, she said a few days that Esav would hear it and say, okay, he's coming back soon. I'll see what I can do then. Otherwise, Esav would have tried to kill him before he left. And he did even. Eliphaz was sent, right? You see, he even did attempt to kill him in a certain way, even though he thought he was coming back in a few days. But what Rivka Aminu really meant was stay away for a while. Yomim are years. Echadim can mean days that are known as Echad. What is the one day of the week that has no partner? Because Sunday is Monday, Tuesday is Wednesday, Thursday is Friday. Shabbos has no partner. Stay away for a yomim, a year of achadim, of Shabbosos. Now, how many Shabbosos are there in a Hebrew calendar year? 354 days. Give or take, there's about 35 Shabbosos, 50 Shabbosos per year. 50 altogether. Okay? Now, if you want to have a year of Shabbos, that's 354 Shabbosos. So you'd need 7 years of Shabbos. 50 Shabbosos per year. 7 times 50 is 350. And that way you'd have a year of Shabbosos to be able to stay away. But what she was saying is, stay away as long as you can, so that Esav will be able to just get over it. He'll be able to get over it, and then you can come back. But stay away as long as you can for that reason. In theory, Yaakov could have negotiated with Laban. In theory, he could have said, Laban, listen, how about 1 year? Laban suggests 20 years. He'll go down to 2 years. Maybe he could have knocked him down a little bit. Maybe that could have happened. But he's worried. Maybe Laban won't be agreeable. She told me, my mother told me I have to be away for 7 years anyway. So he waited for those 7 years. He took those 7 years and didn't want to lose Rachel out of negotiations, accepted the 7 years and used that as his idea over here, and that's what it was supposed to be. Now the Chozem Yilublin, who gives the Chiddush, he's the one that gives the Chiddush of Yomim Achadim, is a year of one dayers, which is a year full of Shabbosos, altogether 354 days of Shabbos, which would be a total of 7 years altogether. Rav Shor adds on to this. He gives a little bit of mussar that comes a little bit with it. He says the Rivka Imenu knew, in order to withstand the pure raw tumah of her brother Lavan and the house that he was going to be in, he needed to be Makadish himself on Shabbos. The same way that we can only get through the week by going through Shabbos beforehand, by having a Shabbos that infuses us with Kedusha for the rest of the week, so too Rivka Imenu knew that the only way for him to do this was to be able to infuse himself with Kedusha before he was fully in Lavan's house. So she told him, go to Yeshiva Sefer, stay there for 14 years, be there to be able to get on the Kiddush of Shabbos, take the Kiddush of Shabbos with you for 14 years, and then don't let yourself just jump into Lavan's house. Spend your Shabbos, so to speak, out in the fields with the sheep. Allow yourself to have 7 years of Kiddusha before you enter inside his house and before you end up getting married, and that's the way you're going to be okay, and that's the only way it's going to be. We need this for any mundane matter, let alone for Yaakov Avinu to get married and to have the Shvatim. That took a lot. We see what happened to Avram Avinu having the Shvatim. He was only able to have one, and that was only Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak tried to have Shvatim. He came out with two, and barely came out with two because of Esav. Yaakov Avinu was able to do this. It took a lot of work for him to prepare himself, to get up the Kedusha, to become Shalem enough to have these 12 Shvatim and to allow them to be the great people that they were. This is part of the reason.
But he wasn't planning on staying in Lavan's house. His original plan was 7 years, get Leah, and then...
Do we know that?
Well, it seems to be... The whole thing was, yeah, Bimachadim was 7 years.
Clearly he stayed afterward.
After the 14 years.
After that. Even after that.
Right, no.
We don't know what Yaakov's plan originally was or end up being was. We know at the end he left when Yosef was born because he knew that Yosef would be up against Esav. That he knew. He knew that he needed a child that would go up against Esav in some way. He knew that he was going to get married. I don't know if he knew how many wives he was going to have. And he knew about the children. The 12 rocks turning into one in the beginning of the parsha was a clear indication that he was going to have 12 kids that were going to be ma'aked into one. They all knew about the 12 shvatim. When he saw 12 rocks turn into one, he realized that that was going to be him. He was going to be the father of all these children, the progenitor of all these children. What else did he know? I don't know. I can't tell you what exactly he knew or what he was planning on doing. The plan of 7 years was because Rivka Imenu told him to do it. The rest of it is up for grabs. He was without a question punished for it. 22 years he stayed away from Yitzchak Avinu. 22 years Yosef was taken away from him. But I don't know what the full plan was. But notice one thing. Yaakov Avinu created something that was not made beforehand. See, we have to understand something. Avraham Avinu created a tefillah called Shacharis. And that's based on the Korban Tamid that we bring every morning. He also, Yitzchak Avinu created the tefillah called Mincha, based on the Tamid Shalbein Arbayim. That was there. Avram still davened Mincha. We have a riot of that in the Gemara in Erevin. Yitzchak still davened Shacharis. We do not have a riot of that, but the Gemara says that Yitzchak added on Mincha, which seems that he already davened Shacharis and he added on Mincha. Mariv was not made by either one of them, because Mariv was a Rishus. The reason why it's Rishus is because why do we do Mariv? What Korban is brought at night? Not sorry?
The
Imurim, which are the limbs and the fats, which are burned on these bath at night. Is there a guarantee that you're going to have limbs and fats at night? Is there a guarantee that there's going to be limbs and fats there to burn? No, not always. Sometimes there will be. Sometimes, unfortunately, there aren't. And if there aren't any, that means, so to speak, you're not chayiv and marav. There's no chiyuv for that tefillah because this tefillah is a reshus. Yaakov Avinu made Mariv into a chova, so to speak, by davening it on that night, even though he meant to daven Mincha. Then all of a sudden the sun set. He davened Mariv and he made it for us into being somewhat of a chiyuv, something that was there. And even though later on the Gemara argues is a reshus or a chova, Rabbi Yeshua held it was a reshus, Rabbi Gamliel held it was a chova. Nonetheless, he created the concept of what Mariv is. Why? Because what he's trying to say is that Kedusha can be chal even in the most unlikely scenarios and in places where there's pure tuma, like nighttime, where there's no day to help you, there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's clear, nothing is clear to you, even at night something can help you, and that was the point of Mariv. But now we got the Be'er Basada. Everything has been leading up to this, and let me tell you, if you don't know this story, you got to know this story. It's a Gemara Bava Kama that cooks your Zion of an Aleph. I'm going to run through it really quickly, but it's an unbelievable story. Rav Kahana was sitting in front of Rav, and a man came in and said that he was going to tell on the government, on a certain Jew, that he had done something wrong. Rav said, "You can't, you can't." And the guy said, "I will, I will." Right in Rav's face. Rav Kahana was so angry, he tore out his throat. I don't know exactly how he did that. Sounds like the coolest thing in the world. Sounds sort of Mortal Kombat-ish. But regardless, he tore out his throat. I'm sorry?
Indiana Jones.
Not the throat. It's been a long time.
Close enough.
Oh, heart. Okay, yeah. Okay, that, I still got that in my head. It's the throat thing I didn't get. Tore out his throat. Rob turned to Rav Khan and said, look, we're not living in the old Persians anymore. We're living with different people around us called the Chaverim. You got to get out of here because if you stay here, they're going to kill you. No longer can you bribe the government and get out of it. They're going to kill you. Get out. So Rav Khan said, where should I go? He said, accept upon yourself a gullus of 7 years. Go to Rav Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael, sit by him for 7 years, and do not ask him any questions. You should be in gullus. Don't do anything else. Have it be a pain for you for 7 years, and only afterward can you come back to Bubble. Rav Khanna went. He went to Eretz Yisrael, sat down on the shir, and he was told not to ask Rav Yochanan any questions. Came to the shir that Rish Lakish was giving. Rish Lakish was going over shir that morning to the Talmidim, and he said, who is that guy? They told him Rish Lakish, and he said, I have this kasha and that kasha and this kasha and that kasha. So the Talmidim brought the questions to Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said, oh, we have an Arisha B'chabura. We have a lion that's coming to shir. He went and told Rav Yochanan, we have a lion Shabbachabura that's coming tomorrow. Go look for him. The next day, Rav Khanna sat down in shir. Rav Yochanan was giving shir and he brought up something. Rav Khanna didn't ask any questions. Asked another thing. Rav Khanna didn't bring up anything. So he said, that's not a lion, that's a fox. He tricked you yesterday. So they brought Rav Khanna 7 rows back. Said he was farther away from Rav Yochanan. Rav Khanna, who hadn't been in the back row in a very, very long time, was extremely embarrassed. And he said, let the 7 rows be a kapara for the 7 years of gullus that I was supposed to have, the amount of embarrassment that I just had. And he said, Rav Yochanan, go over the shir again. Rav Yochanan went through the shir again. Rav Khanna started asking questions. Every time he asked a question, Rav Yochanan sat on 7 pillows. Every time he asked a question, one of the pillows was taken away. After he asked the 7th question, Rav Khanna was brought back to the front row. Rav Yochanan was sitting on the ground. Rav Yochanan realized this guy really knows what he's talking about. He said, lift up my eyes. Rav Yochanan had these massive eyelashes. He was very old, over 200 years old. These massive eyelashes. The only way to open up his eyes was by taking these pokers and opening up his eyelids. So they brought these pokers to open up his eyelids. He looked at Rav Khanna and thought that Rav Khanna was laughing at him. He wasn't. Rav Khanna had a cut in his lip underneath, some type of a weird cut that made it look like he was smirking. But he wasn't smirking. Rav Yochanan thought he was. He got so upset, Rav Khanna died. Because Rav Yochanan got upset. That happened quite a bit around Rav Yochanan. You didn't want to get him upset. So Rav Yochanan, he died. The next day, Rav Yochanan turned to the Talmidim and he said, did you see that guy and what he was doing to me yesterday? Did you see what Rav Khanna was doing, what that guy Khanna was doing to me yesterday? They said, Rebbe, that's what he looked like. He had a scar. And he's like, oh, gosh. So he ran to his cave, saw that the cave was surrounded by a snake. That's a story for another time. He said, snake, snake, achna, achna. Psach, you can open up your mouth and let a Rebbe come in to see a Talmud. Snake wouldn't open. Said, let a chaver come in to see a chaver. Snake wouldn't open. Let a Talmud, said Rabbi Yochanan, come in to see his Rebbe. Then the snake opened. He went inside, brought Rav Khanna back to life, because that was an everyday occurrence for Rav Yochanan. So he brought him back to life. Rav Khanna didn't want to come back. He said, I don't want to come back unless you promise me you'll never do this to me again. Rav Yochanan said, stay in my yeshiva and answer my questions. You won't have to worry. Rav Yochanan used to go around saying, our Torah in Eretz Yisrael is all from Khanna and Bava. All from Rav Khanna and Bava. That's the Maisa that's brought down in Bava Kama Kufyat Zion. The Be'er Basetta brings it down and asks, why in the world was he told 7 years? Why was he told 7 years to stay away? And isn't that coincidental over here? Yaakov didn't kill Esau. But he took away all of his brachos, which in essence killed any sense of ruchnius that Esav would ever have. For all intents and purposes, it was as if he had just killed Esav. What is the kapara for killing someone? Even if the guy deserves to die, even if he was told to do it, and Yaakov was told to do it by his mother, what is the kapara for doing such a thing? Rav Paskin. Rav Paskin, kapara, is gullus. For 7 years. So Yaakov, you know, was told by Rivka Imenu, go into Gullus for 7 years. Rega, why 7 years? Why 7 years? Why is that a kapara? Because the normal life of a man is 70 years, 70 years. So giving a tenth of your life as an atonement, remember at the beginning of the Parsha, Yaakov, you know, offered a miser Kol asher titen, whatever you give me, after asher nolach, I will take a miser offer you, I'll take a tenth offer you. Giving a tenth of that, 7 years, would be a perfect kapara. That would be the amount for stealing the brachos, and he would accomplish that by going to Galus for 7 years. And he did it. He went into 7 years, and he didn't want to just live those 7 years in a normal way. He wanted to work hard so that the kapara would be a real kapara. He stayed in the daytime, even when it was boiling hot watching the sheep. In the night, when it was freezing and it was snowing outside, he stayed with the sheep. He would live a life of pain for those 7 years in order to get the kapara for stealing away the brachos away from Esav. That answers why the 14 years in yeshiva didn't count. He was already 14 years in yeshiva. Why didn't that count as his galus? Because living in yeshiva was a tranquil life. He had no problems there. He sat and learned unperturbed. He was fine with everything he was doing. That didn't count as a kapara at all. Maybe even he intended for that to be the kapara. But after 14 years, he looked back and he's like, those are the best 14 years of my life. So that can't be a kapara. And that's why he suggested, I've got to be in Golis for 7 years anyway. I've got to make it be a kapara. So he said to Laban, I've got to be here for 7 years anyway. I'll work 7 years for your daughter. Laban thinks this is a great deal. I'm getting 7 years of work from a guy. But Yaakov would have had to do this anyway without being married. He needed to do 7 years of Golis as a kapara. He was going to do it anyway. Yaakov didn't lose a thing out of working those 7 years. Did not lose one thing. He always meant to be doing that. And then he goes into an unbelievable kiddush. Everybody says, so strange, these years were like Yomim Achadim. They passed by just like a few days, and they were over. He never knew that they went. These days, they were literally like a few days. Now guys, come on. Whenever you want something so badly, time is so slow. Time never flies. Time only flies when you're having fun. If Yaakovino's not having fun and he's waiting to marry Rachel, and he's working like a dog for 7 years, how could this pass like Yomim Achadim? Incorrect, says the Berba Sada. You're not learning it correctly. These years, and this is the way to be able to look at it, it says, by Yavo Yaakov Rachel Shevashanin, he worked for 7 years, by Yubi Einav, and it became in his eyes, Ki Yomim Achadim. Like the Yomim Achadim, like days of a kapara that Rivka Imenu told him to do. To be there for 7 years and be in Golus, Davasoso, because he loved her so much and he wanted to get married so badly. It went by like centuries. Every day was a century to him. He wanted to get married so badly to Rivka Imenu. Every day was like that for him, but yet he knew he needed to shapar enough, he did it. You asked before, what about an ir mikla? What about a person who kills somebody accidentally? Although the Be'er Basadi does not ask that question, I thought that the reason why is because there the Pasuk says specifically you wait until the Kohen Gadol dies. That's the only reason why it's a Gzeiras HaKasuv. Otherwise, 7 years is a good enough kapara. That does work. Otherwise, that would be a perfect answer.
How about the Goel Adam?
No, Goel Adam also has a mitzvah or a reshus. He's given permission to do what he needs to do. And that's the reason why he's sent out there. Great question, but that's the reason why. We only have a minute left, so I'm going to end off with this. The last thing we have to understand here is the concept of shepherding Laban's sheep. This was not a simple task. This is not just getting out there and taking care of sheep all over the place. Rav Wolfson says, it seems from many, he brings down the colloquial Sfar Makedoshim, which I always love. I love that line. But it is. It's brought down in every sefer that these sheep were 600,000 sheep that he came out with at the end of the day. They were the neshamos of Dor HaMabul, Dor HaFlaga, and Dor Sodom. Those neshamos that died in those three major occurrences, those three major catastrophes, I should say, they became the neshamos of these sheep, and these sheep that he had saved, by Yatzel Osam, and he saved them, literally, Yaakovinu who took them away from Lavan, became his children, the 600,000 Jews who ended up leaving Mitzrayim. These are the 600,000
Jews.
And Sodom. The Rabbeinu Bachaya mentions this in two different places that these neshamas had to come back. This avodah was so much work because it wasn't just watching over the sheep. It was spiritually watching over the sheep. The famous line from the Aftarov said, I remember when I was a sheep under Yaakovinu's tutelage, and he one time hit me right here. And he had a birthmark on a certain part of his body. He said, that was from the staff of Yaakovinu when he hit me when I was that sheep. That's what the after rub said. I don't remember any of that. I don't know if any of them. Rav Wolfson quotes it from Sfarim HaKadoshim. Okay, but I can tell you, I've seen it in the Tzvar Shlomo. I've seen it in the what's called the Me'ah Shiloach. They quote it that it's 600,000 sheep altogether. That's what it ended up being. This is why Avram Avinu davened by Sidon. You ever wonder what happened to Avram Avinu's tefillos? He davened all these things and nothing happens. He davened for Bnei Yisrael. The tefillah worked for Bnei Yisrael. It allowed the neshamos of Sidon to have a tikkun by going into the sheep for Yaakov and then eventually becoming Klal Yisrael. That's what ended up happening over here. He didn't want to be distracted by anything. And maybe this is our 13th answer. He didn't want to be distracted by anything there. And that's why he worked for 7 years before starting his life with a wife and kids. He wanted to make sure that he had done this in the correct way. He waited and waited and waited to make sure that it was done correctly. And once he did it correctly and he knew that the sheep were being saved, then he got married and then he had kids and then he started all of Klal Yisrael. That's the idea behind it. We'll stop with that, guys. Great Shabbat.